This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, Radio Boston is on Facebook, and maybe you're on Facebook. I hope you'd like us if you are. Or maybe your friends are on Facebook, and you're all there for all sorts of reasons. To find long-lost friends, to find new communities, or find a way to spend hours on Farmville. But what about using Facebook to find something like breast milk? Well, NPR featured a story yesterday about a Virginia-based woman named Lindsay Ward who is doing just that, getting breast milk for her infant from other women via Facebook. Ward traveled to West Virginia to meet a truck driver who had a cooler of milk donated by his wife.
I got into the car, and before I started driving, I got on my cell phone on Facebook and messaged his wife. I said, "I hugged your husband. I hope that's okay." I was just, you know, so thankful.
So, you know, that got us wondering, what are women in Massachusetts doing? Because studies have shown the great benefits of breast milk over formula. So there's an equally great deal of pressure on new moms to breastfeed their babies. But what if they can't? What lengths are they or you possibly going to? Or what lengths are they going to maybe choosing breast milk over formula, but getting that breast milk from other moms on Facebook? Or are you turning to a breast milk bank? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Social media and the search for breast milk, that is today's talker. And in fact, the first milk bank in the United States was established right here in Boston at the Floating Hospital for Children. In 2011, there are now 10 milk banks nationwide with more in development, and the New England Milk Bank is located in Newtonville. So joining us right now is Naomi Bar-Yam. She's the executive director of the Mother's Milk Bank of New England. Naomi Bar-Yam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So take us back, if you could, just momentarily. It was really kind of wonderful to find out that the first milk bank was founded here in Massachusetts. What's the story, if you, as much as you know, behind the founding of that of the milk bank here?
The milk bank, the first
the
one?
The first one.
The
here,
first one?
Yes.
It was established, as we said, about 100 years ago, when you had sick babies, moms. It was the industrial era where we were in the process of switch from wet nurses to more technology. You could, with refrigeration and breast pumps, you could kind of separate the milk from the baby from the wet nurse. Mm-hmm. And so women would pump milk or would express their milk at home, and the milk would be brought to a milk bank and taken and distributed from there. And that was really the beginning of milk banking.
It's remarkable that this was recognized even a century ago.
Right.
To share it through a banking system,
right,
let alone wet nurses, which are, you know, millennia old. So today, who are the primary clients of the Mother's Milk Bank of New England?
We have sort of two sets of clients. We have hospitals that we work with directly who take milk either for individual babies or more and more frequently they just have it in their hospitals for whichever baby's needed, baby's mothers don't have quite enough for them. And we have individuals who take milk at home. Some of them are moms who have been discharged. Their babies are discharged from the hospital and their supply isn't quite up yet. And some of them are mothers who, for whatever reason, cannot nurse their babies. They've had chemotherapy, mastectomy sometimes. Sometimes they're gestational carriers, adoption, and sometimes they just they can't produce enough milk and they want human milk for their babies, and so they come to us.
So I want to talk to you more about the individual clients who come to you, but about hospitals. So as you said, it's mostly for perhaps premature babies who need breast milk and whose mothers can't.
Right. Most of the milk that we dispense is to NICUs, to neonatal intensive care units, which treats very premature and sick babies.
Okay. And how many private clients do you have? Because it seems like the need amongst hospitals itself would be quite great.
It is. But we have probably we're a fairly new milk bank. We probably have about a dozen individual clients at a time. It's an ever-changing population because babies nurse for a certain amount of time or get human milk for a certain amount of time and then they don't need it anymore.
Okay, so just a dozen individuals.
At the moment.
And what is the process by which the milk is screened and deemed safe, I guess, for consumption by other babies?
We have a multi-layered screening process. So we screen, first of all, our donor mothers very carefully. We do a two-level health history, and we need a letter from their doctor and from their baby's doctor that both mother and baby, donor mother and baby, are healthy enough to donate milk. And we do blood screenings on the moms to make sure that they're not carrying anything that could be transmitted to the baby. And then when we give them very clear instructions on how to pump and save and send us the milk. And then we also screen the milk itself. Once it comes in, we pasteurize the milk, and we send out one sample from each batch of milk to a lab to culture the milk to make sure that once it's been pasteurized, there's nothing in it.
Let me ask you about the pasteurization process, because my understanding was that by pasteurizing breast milk, you essentially eliminate or negate all of its healthful properties.
You don't negate all of the healthful properties. It's not direct from the breast donor milk. I mean, mother's milk. That would, if every mother could have enough milk for her baby and we didn't have to, we could go out of business, we would do it in a heartbeat. That's what we would really like. However, we can't do that. And so there's been a lot of research that went into figuring out the best way to pasteurize milk so that you get rid of the pathogens and the bacteria while maintaining as much of the immune factors and growth factors and nutritional value as we can.
Okay, and how much is the per ounce cost then of this human breast milk after the entire process that it goes through? If I were to have to go to the bank to get it,
the milk that we get from donor mothers is donated, and we are not actually charging for milk, but we are charging for all of that screening and processing, and it's $4.50 an ounce.
An ounce. Okay, and so infants 3-4 months old can take up to, 30
plus ounces? A fair amount of milk, right. To feed a full-term, healthy baby, only donor milk is quite costly.
Okay.
Most of our goal and most of our objective is really feeding the premature babies who don't take nearly as much, and so it's not nearly as costly.
And yet, I mean, as you are well aware, there are many women who have full-term babies,
right,
and as you said, can't breastfeed on their own for a number of reasons. So when you hear about these women going to Facebook and other forms of social media to find breast milk because perhaps they can't afford $120 a day of screened milk from the Mother's Milk Bank of New England, what do you make of this sort of, I don't really want, under the radar search for breast milk?
Well, I think one of the issues is that it's under the radar. I think I have to hand it to mothers who want to share this incredibly precious gift with other mothers. But there are risks associated with doing this. And, as you mentioned earlier, we have been sharing milk for millennia through family, through wet nurses. But it's always been in, or often, most often, been in very close circles. We share milk with sisters or sisters-in-law or close friends, cousins. And to universalize that and sort of make it global, we don't know what we're getting. And it's not that the women who are donating the milk would ever maliciously on purpose do, give milk that is harmful. But we don't know. And so that's why we do such careful screening.
Well, we are talking about milk sharing, breast milk sharing in Massachusetts, whether through a formal milk bank, such as the Mother's Milk Bank of New England, or via social networking. It's Today's Talker on Radio Boston. You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we've got callers. I will get to them in a minute, but I want to introduce first into the conversation Emma Kwasnicka. She is a self-proclaimed lactivist, but also founder of Eats on Feets. It's a global network of women who use Facebook to find and donate breast milk. Emma Kwasnicka, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello.
So really delighted to have you here. Tell me, what was your inspiration for turning to social networking to find and share breast milk?
Yeah, it actually evolved rather organically right on Facebook on my own personal profile page, because I'm connected to so many activists, breastfeeding activists and birth activists around the world. I was acting sort of as a go-between between somebody who would say in Idaho, I've got a mom here who could use some breast milk. Can you put a shout out on your status and see if there's anyone near us who's got some in her freezer just to help her over this hump with supplementation at the beginning? And I would do it. I'd put it out, and within a couple hours, sometimes immediately, but always within the day, I seemed to be getting a rapid response. So I just thought to myself that this is ridiculous for one person in Montreal to be doing all this, and we need to set out hyper-localized chapter pages around the globe.
Mm. We were actually looking at the Eastern Massachusetts page that you have on your website, and there were active requests going on backwards and forwards even to this day. So do you find that women are satisfied with what they're finding there, or is it that there aren't enough donors?
So far, globally, what I could see is that there's far more donors than there are requests, but what we're having trouble doing is matching up as locally as possible those requests with the donors. We seem to have, for example, lots of milk available at a sort of a different end of the state or not quite, you know, within an hour's drive from these women. So it's a little bit tricky, but locally it is working out. Women are meeting up in broad daylight, in coffee shops. I mean, they're using Facebook as a tool, a communication tool. The milk is not pouring out of the internet, the scary internet. It's coming from the real women who are out in public meeting each other as real women, having first contact on Facebook. So the stranger danger aspect of internet breast milk sharing is a little silly when we think of how women of our generation actually use Facebook, much like the older generation would use the telephone.
But Emma, let me ask you, I mean, Naomi Bar-Yam was telling us about how the milk that comes into the Mother's Milk Bank of New England gets screened fairly extensively and pasteurized. So, but I presume that through social networking, I mean, you're not having milk that's screened or cleaned, if it even needs to be. So is there a health concern there?
We really feel like the most important factor is that these women are doing this altruistically, okay, out of the goodness of their heart. There's no money involved ever on the Eats on Feeds exchanges. These women are feeding their own babies as well, so they've been cleared prenatally with their pregnancy screening. They're HIV negative, hepatitis B negative, things of that nature. They have their recent blood work. They're feeding their own babies, and so when the mothers meet up, and most all of mothers take it as sort of a first guarantee, when they see that woman with her healthy baby on her hip, that's a first sign, bingo, this is probably okay. Then they ask for the blood records from pregnancy a couple of months previous, check out her HIV status. Then they say, okay, that's okay. And if ever there was a concern, there is a simple technique to be done at home, a low-tech form of flash pasteurization called flash heating. We have good, solid research now backing that HIV virus is destroyed by that method.
Hmm. Naomi Bar-Yam, but yet some are there diseases that can be transmitted through breast milk, or can you know if, like, say, the woman has consumed drugs or alcohol and that's ended up in the breast milk?
It probably would end up in the breast milk. I would say that most likely these exchanges are fine. It's true. We have to be concerned about somewhat different things because we're feeding very vulnerable premature babies mostly. And so most likely it's fine. It's just that, you know, what if one, you know, case. And as we've said, this has been happening for millennia. It's not a new thing. But people are also concerned about the safety. And again, it's not that women are malicious, but sometimes is the milk stored in the best possible way, et cetera. So those are some of the things that we have to think about.
Well, we've got a lot of callers who want to join us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Isabella is calling from Quincy. Welcome to Radio Boston, Isabella.
Hi, yes. I just want to say I really commend Emma for all that she's done on Facebook. That's definitely the network I use and the network that I refer young like-minded mothers who want to even just gather resources about breastfeeding or want to support from mothers in their area when they know they're not going to be able to provide and have the support of breast milk themselves, but a network that can really connect them to making positive choices, since we all have obviously taken that route where we don't think that formula is substantial enough for our children. So I think she's done a great job.
And Isabella, I mean, do you find that more and more young women are sort of coming, I guess, to you or through Facebook every month, every year, that there's like a resurgence of interest to go to extreme lengths to find breast milk?
Absolutely. And I find that especially a lot of my, you know, I had my a lot of support when I was breastfeeding two kids as a teen. They know that I've breastfed. They want help. They want resources. There's so much information being put out there about how even shared milk is going to overcome anything that formula can provide. And it's easy. They go onto a Facebook page. They can check it out. They can see, okay, who's nearby me? Can I ask these moms about questions? I've private messaged people and connected with them privately who don't want to put their information out on a local page. And I think it's just an awesome resource, and it can really help the young networking mothers who are out there and are kind of lost. They don't want to choose formula. They want to have another route.
Isabella, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Carol is calling from Cambridge. Welcome to Radio Boston, Carol.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. My name is Carol Maltzur. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner and a board-certified lactation consultant that works at the Children's Hospital in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, I wanted to, share that we use donor milk for many of our neonates, many of the very sick premature babies that are in our neonatal intensive care unit. We also have a very supportive program at Children's, not only to support the moms that are using breast pumps to provide breast milk to their babies, but we also support our staff, employees that come back to work and are also pumping and trying to provide this incredible milk to their children.
Carol, if I may ask you, where do you get the milk from for Children's Hospital? Does it come from a milk bank?
It does. We use the New England donor bank. I think Naomi has been talking, and we certainly we get a lot of our donor milk from the bank in Newton.
Carol, thank you so much for your call. Naomi Bariam, if I could ask you, if a woman is hearing this and is interested in actually becoming a donor, what's the process of becoming a donor to the bank?
They would call us, and there's a screening process. So we would start with a over-the-phone health history, and our screening process is really modeled after blood banking. They've been doing that for a lot of years, and so they have all of the protocols and research behind what they do. We would do an oral health history, and then we would send them a written health history, which they would fill out. As I said, they would get letters from their physician, and then they would have a blood test that would, and then we would give them instructions on how to do the pumping and send it to us.
Emma Kwasnicka, founder of Eats on Feets, let me ask you, do you encourage women to sort of look for donors and women who are searching for breast milk locally, like close to where they are, or even across state lines necessarily? And if the breast milk is crossing state lines, I mean, it seems like it's a bodily fluid. Are there any regulations, any health laws that have to be considered in that case?
Yes, actually, part of the problem is that the breast milk banks were modeled after the blood banks, and breast milk is not a biohazard as blood is. It's a food, okay? It passes through the baby's digestive system. It's not the same thing as dumping a blood transfusion directly into the veins of a human. incidentally, the CDC advises women who are hepatitis B and hepatitis C positive to breastfeed their own babies, as they're fairly confident that the hepatitis virus is not inherently in breast milk, though it is in a woman's blood. Same story for HIV, although we are concerned that there are higher rates. An HIV-positive woman has about a 30% chance of having the HIV virus in her actual breast milk. So this system has built up in this way, and unfortunately, yes, the protocols, the screenings are in place, but perhaps we've created an aspect of fear around breast milk that isn't exactly necessary. We hope that women will connect locally within a half-hour drive and meet each other, but they certainly are crossing state lines. There is no law against women sharing their breast milk with each other. The only law there is in the United States is in the state of New York and California. You cannot sell breast milk. But other than that, there's no laws stopping women, and we don't expect there ever to be, to come in between women and what they do with their bodies.
I want to get a couple more calls in here. Ibrahim is calling from the North End. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ibrahim.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to come from Islamic perspective. And Islam, it really encourages for 2 years of breastfeeding. But on top of that, if you look at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he, at one point when his mother passed away, he was taken to a woman in the outskirts of Mecca, and he was breastfed by that other woman. And as a result of that, he become, the woman become his mother by default because of the breastfeeding. And the siblings, you know, he has a sibling from that mother. And that, you know, makes a lot of, you know, our relationship, makes the family extended, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's very, very interesting, and it's very helpful thing, you know, because, you know, milk is not the same with all mothers. So some mothers have more milk, others don't, you know. So that way, you know, it really helps, you know, and it's good for the kids, you know, and that way, I think, you know, it's a very, very, very good thing.
Ibrahim, thank you so much for your call. I want to get one more in here. Kathleen is calling from Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kathleen.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm actually a physician, and I am the medical director of the Mother's Milk Bank in New England, so it's important that you know that. Two thoughts here. One is that there are a number of conditions that mothers can have and feed their own babies but would not be safe for their milk to be given to another baby, because I just heard that as I was waiting in the queue. For example, hepatitis B. If a mom has hepatitis B, the baby is treated in the hospital, given immunization against hepatitis B, given hepatitis B immunoglobulin, and then is allowed to nurse. So her baby is safe. But if her milk were given to another baby who had not received that might be a problem for that baby. So there are times when milk is fine for a mother's own baby, but not may not be fine for a donor baby.
Kathleen, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm terribly sorry to interrupt, but I only have about a minute here. Since you're Dr. Kathleen Marinelli, is that correct? So I just have to ask you a quick question about the fact that, does it make sense to you that women would go to such lengths using Facebook, using social networking to find breast milk, because the message they're being given is that breast milk is so superior to formula that they would look to these other methods that maybe you don't approve of before going to formula?
It is so superior, and the point that I was going to make was that the scary part of all of this to me is that the vast majority of women can breastfeed with support. That's what the Surgeon General's message was last week when she gave her call to action for breastfeeding support, that we as a society are failing these women in supporting them in breastfeeding. Donor milk should be a bridge for those mothers who need a little extra support. There are some moms, yes, who need breast milk because they've had a mastectomy or because they're on chemotherapy or because they're HIV positive.
Dr. Marinelli, I'm terribly sorry to have to interrupt, but I'm crashing into the end of this segment. It's my sincere apologies, but thank you so much for joining us. And Naomi Bar-Yam, Executive Director of the Mother's Milk Bank of New England, thank you so much as
thank
well.
You.
And Emma Kwasnicka, founder of Eats on Feets, thank you so much for your time as well.
My pleasure.
We've got more in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.